Praise God. If you have your Bible, would you stand, please? And if you don't have one, would you share your Bible with somebody that's close by? And go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I'm going to read the whole thing. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the touch of your Holy Spirit on the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for giving faith to our hearts, Lord, to believe you. Help us as we read this to learn from the mistakes of others and from things that they did right. Give us eyes, Lord, to see that you penned this. This came from your hand, and you penned it for our instruction. And so, Lord, to help us to see it tonight and help us to learn from it. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Verse 1, Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Amazing, isn't it? You know, if you're here tonight and you don't believe that God is able to take your life and use it for his glory, then you're committing the same sin that they did in verse 19. You're looking in your own life and in your own heart and saying, this is such a barren place. This is such a fruitless life. Can God do anything with me? Behold, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this, and he was wroth. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. You see, the end result of religion that has no living relationship with God is not based on truth. It's based on selfishness. It ends up just years of emptiness and the end just trouble. When he slew them, they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God, and remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers and were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. And when God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also to the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. In other words, he didn't do things the way they had been done. He chose a new tribe, the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he has established forever. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the yoes great with young, he brought them to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. And so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The greatest sin that you and I can commit against God tonight is to not believe that he can use us for his glory. We've come to a place in history where I believe the Lord has awakened again. He's come and he's willing to do what only he can do. He will fight against our enemies. He will take us in our weakness and do something profound and powerful. He will establish us. He will give us shepherds after his heart. And he will guide us according to the integrity of his heart and by the skillfulness of his hands. But you and I must not say, can God furnish a table in this wilderness? We must not let that thought be in our hearts. He is God. He took Lazarus out of the grave and he raised dead bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. Can God do something in my life? You better believe he can. That's got to be the cry of your heart tonight. You had better believe it. You tell it to the devil himself. You better believe it, devil, that God can take my life and do something. And the devil would come to you and say, yeah, but look at the enemies all around. You are surrounded. You're surrounded in your mind. You're surrounded in your home. You're surrounded in your neighborhood. You're surrounded in your workplace. But you shout back to the devil and say, but have you not read? Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, yes, he can. 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 That's got to be in your heart now, and it's got to be in my heart. I'm not going down into unbelief. Glory to God. I'd rather die with a sword in my hand on the side of faith. There's nothing in unbelief. There's no future there. There's no water there. There's no life there. No protection, no provision, no glory, no joy, no song, no nothing in unbelief. No, 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 no. God can do whatever he wants in my life. He can do whatever he wants to in your life. Hallelujah. All he needed to make a universe was nothing. That's all he needed was nothing. He spoke and the worlds were created. There was nothing there. By faith, we come to understand that the worlds that were created of something that did not exist. That's who God is. That's what God does. Let it be in your heart tonight. It's not about us. It's not about our integrity. It's not about our education. It's not about your ability or mind to speak. It's not about any natural bravery. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. God says, I will speak a word and my spirit will come and make that word a living reality in your heart. Yes, he can. Can you say that with me? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Hallelujah. Yes, he can. Glory to God. He can use my life for his glory.
Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him when you feel like it. Praise him when you don't feel like it. We're going to praise him no matter who wins the election. We're going to praise him because he is worthy. Today is election day. No, that's the title of my message. It is. Deuteronomy 30. I'm just going to read a few verses. You don't have to look for it. You could just jot it down. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto thee this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life, that thou may live, both you and thy seed. Then he turns, this is Moses, turns to Joshua. And what he was speaking to the congregation, telling them to be strong and be of good courage. Now he makes his call personal to his servant Joshua and says in verse 7 of chapter 31, And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people, say with this people, unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that goes before you. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This is at the end of Moses' life. He's encouraging Joshua. Now, at the end of Joshua's life in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14, Joshua tells the people, Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, do in the next few moments only what you can do, what you alone can do, God. Stir our hearts, convince us of your grace, your power, your majesty. And God, bring us out with a mighty hand from any place, dear God, that we've settled in where we shouldn't. God, we pray you bring us out by the power of your word, the power of your spirit, that your name alone would be glorified in your people and through your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, this message is no endorsement, no attack on any political candidate. This is just a disclaimer right here from the out front. It's not even an opinion, a commentary. I don't even have the knowledge to proclaim anything political, and I wouldn't dare do it from the pulpit. I would have to confess that I don't even know much about the political parties. When I had to register to vote, I saw Republican and Democrat as one of the choices, and then I didn't want to commit to any one of those. So I saw one of the boxes said independent, so I just checked independent. I thought they were going to leave me alone. You know, I'm independent. Next thing you know, I had people coming to my doorstep from the Independent Party, which I didn't even know existed, asking for my signature for this or for that. We don't vote for Jesus. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's not an elected official. He's the chosen one of Israel. He's the chosen one of God, the only one who can save. Deliverance comes in from no other name but the name of Jesus. Salvation belongs to no other name but the name of Jesus. Strength and power, majesty and praise belongs to him and him alone. Politics does not dictate his standards and his laws. They're not going to change his way of doing things. No special interest group is going to twist his arm to say this or to say that. You can try to convince God by being a hefty contributor, but that's not going to influence God's decisions and God's laws. The polls of public opinion and the approval ratings do not diminish his sovereignty and his lordship. It doesn't matter if everybody turns against God. God is still God. His promises are not dependent on our strengths or our limitations. The prosperity he offers us is not driven by the success of the stock market or its losses. I don't know why they call it S&P futures. Probably because it surges and it plunges. But God's grace is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His position is not determined or stipulated to term limits. Amen? He's forever on the throne. And he will forever be on the throne. No one can dethrone him. No one can take our master's place. And the plans he has for you and I, my friends, are not detained by the struggles or the storms that we face in this life. His plans continue. No matter what you're facing today, he wants to encourage you and says he hasn't changed his mind about you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He has a destiny for your life. He plans on using your life for the glory of his name in this city, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your family circle. God's plans are not detained by our struggles. This message is not a political message. It's a call for those in the valley of decision, those who are half-hearted, those that are undecided, those who are uninformed, those who are fearful or faint-hearted from going deeper with God. It's not just a call to the unsaved. It's not just a call to the backslidden, even though it is. But it's a call to the church of Jesus Christ to come out of where we are right now and go deeper with God. To look back, to look at his faithfulness and say, God, you were faithful back then. You brought me out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And God, you're bringing me into something deeper. I can't settle for just the status quo. I can't just settle for just being here and just cruising by into eternity. I want everything that God has for me. I want his glory to increase from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I want the latter rain to be greater than the former. I want the latter wine to taste better than the former. I want God's glory to increase in my life, and I don't want to settle for anything less because God is still on the throne. It's a call to go deeper with God. It's a call to believe God for deeper and mightier things in our life. Amen? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. A call to choose God is a call to fear him. Listen to me on this. A call to serve him, a call to follow him, is also a call to fear him. The fear of God says he is holy. He is righteous. The fear of God says he is worthy of all praise, of all glory, of all honor. He's worthy of my entire devotion. He is worthy of all my service. The fear of God says he sees what I do behind closed doors, and he sees what I do in church. You see, the fear of God is his covering upon his people. It's the covering of God that leads us and that protects us. It leads us. It's his wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It protects us. It says in Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a refuge, a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So the fear of God leads his people. The fear of God keeps his people. The fear of God protects his people. The fear of God covers his people. He could have called his people and said, come, work for the Lord. Come, strive for the Lord. Come and do your best to enter into the kingdom of God. But no, he said, fear the Lord thy God and serve him. And then he says, serve him. You see, there's a fear of God that produces the pure works that come out of a grateful heart. I remember my former boss, and I'm not going to mention her name, principal of a school. And we all feared her for whatever reason. A good fear caused us to be on our toes and be on point. But I remember one day she canceled my program so that I could help her out with other things. And there was many activities going on that day in the school. And I finished everything, and I finished early. And my program was canceled, so I wasn't going to go back to my regular program. So I went into my office, and I thought, wow, I have the rest of the day free. That's pretty cool. Praise God, Jehovah Jireh. But the fear of the boss that I had came into my heart and said, no, this is not right. This is not right. And above that, I feared God, because God sees me in the office looking at my watch saying how much time I have left till dismissal time. So I went upstairs to the office and I went to her and I said, I finished everything that you wanted me to do. Is there anything else that you want me to do? And she said, go home. And she released me for the rest of the day. So the lesson learned is fear God. Serve your bosses with the fear of the Lord. Amen. And you will be rewarded. I don't know if you'll be rewarded like I was, but I praise God that she said, go home. And I did what all of you would do. I went home. So the fear of God protects us. The fear of God is our covering. It says the fear of the Lord protects us from to depart, causes us to depart from the snares of death, the snares that encroach upon our hearts. Talk about homeland security. It protects our hearts from anything the enemy has put in front of us without our knowing, to trip us up, to cause us to fall. The fear of God causes us to stand and to avoid those snares that the devil has placed before us. He protects us because we are his treasure. It secures our borders. Doesn't it say the angel of the Lord encamps round those that fear him and he delivers them? So God is putting a hedge of protection as we fear the Lord. He tells the enemy this far and no further. You can't touch him. You can't touch him this far. Okay, you could allow this trial and this storm and this situation in his life, but this far and no further, there's a hedge of protection. And not only that, but the fear of God tears down the borders that shouldn't be up. So he lifts up borders to protect us from the wiles and the snares of the enemy. But the fear of God also brings down the borders and the boundaries that we've placed up that God doesn't want us to place up. Amen? He's our peace. He breaks down the walls of partition. He brings us together as Christ's body. He makes us one in Christ Jesus. And he is the expert in doing this. He is the King of glory. He sees the big picture. He's the expert of foreign affairs because he has the whole world in his hands. He knows what he's doing in our life. And he knows those walls that keep the testimony of the body of Christ from shining through. So the invitation today is to consider the call. Come serve him in the fear of the Lord. Will you allow him to protect you and allow him to tear down the walls that you think are protecting you, but they're not? Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, Psalm 34 says, for there is no want to them that fear him. One author put it this way: he who fears God has nothing left to fear. When we fear Him, it impacts the workforce. It impacts my performance on the job. The quality, the productivity, the efficiency of my job is going to be impacted by the fear of God. How so? The Word of God tells me that everything I do, I should do it unto the Lord, not to man to please man, but fearing God. Amen. So I'm not serving my earthly master. I'm not serving my boss, my employer. I'm not serving the company just to be seen by man. I'm serving in holiness, in godly fear, because God sees everything I'm doing. Every little act I do, every little motive I have, God is seeing it. So I yield myself in humility to God and I say, God, let the glory of God be seen through my life and my service on the job and wherever you take me. Here in the house of God, as I serve God, I'm not doing it so the pastors can see me, so that the elders can pat me on the back. I'm doing it out of a fear of God, because God plucked me out of darkness and He brought me into His marvelous light, and I owe Him everything that I am. Hallelujah. When He calls us to serve Him, He calls us to fear Him. It's His covering. Secondly, He calls us to have faith in Him. Not just to fear Him, but to have faith in God. To put all of our confidence in this God who has brought us thus far. And this is the currency of His government. You see, every transaction done in the kingdom of God is done through faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every transaction we make that will be of any value in the kingdom of God, will be of any value for eternity, is done through faith. It's more precious than gold. You know it in the scriptures. This currency is tested by fires and by storms and tried to be brought out for the glory of His name. Consider the call. Consider the call, my friends. Consider the call, my brothers and sisters. When He calls you to follow Him, He's calling you to put your trust and confidence in Him. He's calling you to surrender everything you are, everything you have, everything you hope to be in His hands. He says, when you come with me, you're coming with everything you've got. All of your plans, all of your ambitions, you're putting them in my hands. Everything, all the resources you have, all the talents or inabilities that you have, you bring them to me. Your strengths, your weaknesses, your ambitions, your thoughts about tomorrow, your family, your fortune, your fame, everything you have, you bring it and you give it to God for the glory of His name. It requires faith. Consider the call. Faith says He knows what He's doing. Faith says, even though He's called me in my frailty, He knows what He's doing. Even though I feel unqualified, unequipped, even though I look in the mirror and all I see is my past failures and frailties, God is able. He can. He can make a way where there seems to be none. Faith says, fear not, be of good courage. Moses knew what he was talking about when he said that to Joshua. Remember Moses when he was called to deliver Egypt. He says, I can't do it. I can't even speak right. I can't even stand in front of a public. I'm a stutterer. I can't do this. And he made all these excuses. And God continually said, you're not going to change my plan for you. You're not going to change my plan. Who made man's mouth? God is the one who's going to strengthen you. God is the one who's going to make a way. And who knows if he even went to Egypt with a little unbelief in his heart, saying, well, I'm going, I'm obeying God, but I don't know how he's going to do it, because I can't do this, and my brother, I don't even think he's qualified to do this, so we're in bad shape here. But God proved himself mighty and strong with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He delivered the people out of bondage. And Moses is now speaking out of experience and saying, Joshua, I know you look in the mirror and all you see is your weakness and your frailties, but God can and God will. Be of good courage. Fear not and put your faith in God. Faith says God's track record is impeccable. This is God. He doesn't change. Faith in God says, if He is for me, who can stand against me? Faith says he has spoken and he will fulfill it. When he speaks, it is done. When he spoke, let there be light, there was light. When he spoke to the winds and to the waves, they were still. When he speaks, it is done. If he calls us to walk upon the waters of impossibility, it's because he's giving us the power to do it. When he calls, there's power in his call. If he's spoken, he will fulfill it. He's saying he's given you this land. Even though there are giants that may oppose you, that's just going to create a greater testimony for the glory of his name. He has spoken, he will do it. He's speaking to our hearts. He's saying this city belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the devil anymore. Your neighborhoods belong to God. He has spoken it. He will fulfill it. Consider the call. Consider the call. Your loved ones, your children that are backslidden, that are cold, and they're not fervent with God. They're not interested in God. God has said they will belong to God. They are your seed. Your seed will bless the name of Jesus. Consider the call. Do you believe it? Put your faith in God. Hallelujah. Faith says he loves me. He wouldn't call me if he didn't love me. In spite of my frailties, in spite of all the failures of my past, he loves me. Faith says, I'm just responding to his invitation. When the enemy comes in and says, who are you? To say, what audacity, what boldness, what arrogance in you to say, we're going to take the city and we're going to claim it for Jesus. What boldness for you. We're responding to something he's already proclaimed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith says, he spoke it, I believe it, he will accomplish it. Faith says, he said, I will be saved, me and my household. So I claim it for myself and I believe it because he said it. God said, it's not because you were great and mighty that I chose you. I chose you to declare my glory to the world. I chose you because you were weak and frail. You can't do it without me. Even though politicians may say, we can, we can, we can. We sang this morning, he can, he can. We can't, but he can. To God be the glory. We see the giants. We see his threatenings. We hear the voice of the enemy reminding us of how weak we are and how many times we've failed. But the voice of faith rises up in our hearts because we've chosen God and God has chosen us. Moses says to Joshua, thirdly, for you must go into this land. And then he adds something and he says, with this people. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine Joshua saying, do I have to go with these people? You see, a call to follow him is not just to fear him and to put our faith in him. But lastly, the call to serve him is a call to the family of God. A call to the family of God. We can't do this without the body of Christ. It's not a me and my God thing. It's a body of Christ thing. It's a community thing. And this is the most convincing and compelling campaign ad that challenges the world to consider the God of all creation, the God of salvation. The body of Jesus Christ is the advertisement for God. You and I are a living testimony, telling the world, convincing the world that he is worthy of all praise. Your life and my life is a testimony, a walking testimony. Some people stand behind pulpits, but we live the sermon. We walk the sermon. We breathe the sermon. From Monday to Monday, we go through our life and we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I are the testimony to this generation that Christ is alive, that he's on the throne, that he's worthy of all our surrender. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all our submission. He's worthy of us humbling ourselves before him and giving him all that we are. You see, we are the testimony to this generation. And that's why the enemy comes against the body of Jesus Christ and tries to sow dissension and strife among us. That's why he wants to divide us one from another. Be aware of this. Consider the call. There's a call to walk in unity with the family of God. There's a call to go into the promised land with the family of God, with this people. And there are different personalities that may rub us the wrong way. And some people are whispering amen. But God has allowed this. God has allowed this, you see, because he knows our own heart. And he's building us up in the most holy faith. He's building us up and he's forming his love and his tenderness, his character of compassion in us. And he can't do it unless we're tested. He can't do it unless we're put in a situation where we have to love. Where we have to cry out to God, God, give me that love that comes from Calvary. Because I don't have it in my own strength. Have you ever been there? Are you there right now? Where someone has offended you in the body of Christ. Or has taken offense to something that you have done. And now there's friction between you and a brother or you and a sister. And it hinders your praise. It hinders your walk. And it's like you can't enter in. And there's something like a brass heaven over you. Because God is saying, get it right. Get it right. I paid the price on Calvary so that forgiveness can flow through your life. I shed my blood so that love and tenderness could flow through your life. You know where to go. You know you can't do it in your own strength, but you know where to run. You know where to find your strength. You know your resources is in him. All your resources are in him. Have you been there where someone does something, says something, makes a comment, and all of a sudden you say, man, that's a Christian. They're not supposed to hurt me like this. And you question their Christianity, you question their spirituality, you question their faith. But my friends, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Christ died for them, Christ died for you. Christ shed his blood for them, Christ shed his blood for you. And he's calling us to love one another as Christ loved us. Offenses will come. This world deals with balancing the budget. You know what I'm talking about? Pay back what you owe. What has been borrowed, you borrow, you pay back, you get even. That's not the way the Church of Jesus Christ balances the budget. We don't get even. And sometimes you have what it takes to get even. Oh, you have. You can't wait to pull it out. You have the perfect words. You have the perfect, you know who to go to. You know the head of that ministry, and you know exactly where you're going to go with that report of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And God says, that's not the way we balance the budget in the kingdom of God. We cancel the debt. Just like Christ canceled the debt when he went to Calvary. He gives us the power to cancel the debt and the offense against us. Disagreements, disappointments, we will face them. It's what we do with them that makes the body of Christ the body of Christ. We bring it to the Master. We throw ourselves at his mercy and his feet. We come with sincerity and truth. It says in Joshua, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. God, I can't love the way you want me to love them. I find it hard to forgive them with true honesty. I don't see them in the same light. I've said to myself, I forgive them, but if I'm called to walk alongside them and work in the same ministry with them, I don't think I can handle it. I don't feel the love. I don't feel like praying for them. And God is saying, I have the power for you so that you can walk in the family of God as a testimony to this generation that God is on the throne. In the family of God, there's no classes, no social classes. It's not about rich, poor, and middle class. There's no one here that's a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. You are his children. We were all poor. We were bought with a price. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We partake of the riches in Christ, and there is no second class. Let's not grow familiar, so familiar with one another that we forget to respect the family of God. Hear me out on this. We get involved in ministry. We grow comfortable with one another. We become like family, and truly that's awesome. That is an awesome thing. But we can't ever forget that this is the first family. You hear? We are the family of the King. We are the first lady, as it were, because we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Let's respect the first lady. Are you hearing what I'm saying? sopranos respecting sopranos and altos and contraltos and bass respecting tenors and musicians respecting choir members and ushers respecting hospitality and courtesy corps and security respecting maintenance and all the ministries working together. There is no big and small saints in the kingdom of God. We are one in the body of Christ, respecting one another, loving one another, because God gives us the power to do it. Consider the call. When he calls you, he's calling you to a serious walk in the family of God, to a loving relationship. It's not about lovey-dovey feeling for one another. We will have disappointments. We will be offended. We will offend people at times. But God gives the grace to overcome that and to love and to choose unity. This day, today is election day. Are we going to choose to walk in unity before God? Are we going to choose to walk in unity before one another, before the church of Jesus Christ? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose the Father's love. Choose his forgiveness. If not, we're going to end up like the older brother outside of the party, not able to enter into the glory of his celebration. There'll always be something keeping us out. Maybe that's the initiation of the independent party. He was like, I'm just going to have my own little party out here by myself. It's just me and God. I'm going to isolate myself from that celebration. My friends, there's no such thing in the kingdom of God. We are one body. We celebrate with each other's celebrations. We grieve when others are grieving. We weep with those who weep. We laugh with those who laugh. We exalt the name of Jesus for the triumphs of one another. When God lifts somebody up, we rejoice in God. We're not comparing ourselves with one another. He's more anointed, she's more anointed. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God has called us to walk in unity. Will you stand this evening? Will you stand? I'm going to make a quick altar call. God is calling us to come out. I'm not going to try to do the Holy Spirit's work for him. He doesn't need me to do that. You have heard the word of God. You've heard his call. You've been hearing it through this pulpit. Not just tonight. And he's calling you to make a personal choice. Yes, he speaks to the body of Christ. Fear not. Come serve me. Come serve me in the fear of the Lord. Come put your faith in me. But he turns his eye to you tonight. Personally, in your own life, and he says, you need to make a personal choice tonight. You need to break away from those things that have been hindering you, those things that have been so easily besetting you. You need to make a personal choice, and you can do it in his strength. You can do it tonight because he's calling you. He's the one that's calling you. It's not a preacher. It's not a church that's calling you. It's Jesus Christ who's calling you. And when he calls you, it's because he has chosen you already. It's not just about you choosing him. It's because he has chosen you to glorify his name. And that's why we can respond to him. Doesn't the word of God says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain? Doesn't it say that we love him because he loved us first? You see, we're just responding to what he has already done. He's calling you tonight. He's calling you to break away, whether it be the thoughts of backsliding and going back to the world, or the temptation to just live amongst the Amorites and compromise. Knowing God, knowing his deliverance, knowing his testimonies and his glory, but living in a place of compromise where you're not fully into the kingdom of God and you're not fully out. My friends, that's like splitting a vote in the elections and giving half a vote to him and half a vote to the other person. It just doesn't exist. We can't do that in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, come, come, I'm going to give you the power. And if that's you tonight, if you're half-hearted, you've been haltering between two opinions. Tonight is your night as the musicians worship. And as we all worship in reverence before God, if you are fearful and God has spoken to you tonight and says, don't fear, I've got you. It's not about your ability, it's about my power. It's not about your faithfulness, it's about my faithfulness. Come, come and accept his call. Come and respond to his call. You've considered the weight of his call, the seriousness of his call, and to discern the body of Jesus Christ. You've been isolating yourself from either one person or from the body at whole. And Jesus is saying, enough, enough. You're going into the promised land. You're going into everything God has for you, but you're going in with a body. You're going in with the people of God. You're going in with a family. You're going in with an army. Come, come. Lay your offenses down. Ask God to forgive you and to allow God to just flow through you the love of Jesus Christ. If you've been hurt, if you've been wounded, my friends, in the kingdom of God, the best health care available. By His stripes we are healed. He sends His word and He heals us of all of our diseases. He's come to heal you. He's come to heal you. Yes, you've been hurt. Yes, the pain is real, but God's grace is greater than all the pain. And you will be a healer. You will be an agent of healing. When you allow God to heal you, you'll be able to minister to others. As we worship, you come, and let God do what only He can do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is calling us to go deeper with God. And you may think, man, I've tried reading my word, I can't get into it. I've tried fasting, and I just dread the fact that we're going into a 2-day fast because I've tried and I can't do it. And I'm so weak in my own self. I've tried to be more spiritual. Tonight is not a night of making promises to God. You're not up here to make any declarations of your great faith in God. Tonight is a night of surrender, of acknowledging our weakness, acknowledging that we need Him, but also acknowledging that He's able, that He's able. And He will make a way. He will make a way. I know during the fast they're going to be talking about the Feed New York, and you're like, your flesh is going to be crying, feed me, feed me. But God is going to give you the strength. God is going to strengthen you. I know you've tried to shut yourself away and to do the right thing and get alone with God and pray more. But now you're understanding that when you get alone with God, you shut that door behind you. You're just responding to His wooing. He's the one. It's not you working up enough strength to do the right thing. It's just you responding to Him. And you respond to Him. He's the one wooing you into that prayer closet. He's the one wooing you to open up this book. Respond to Him and He's going to give you the power. The words are going to come alive. The prayer time is going to become glorious. And you'll understand that in His presence, there's fullness of joy. He'll seal this work in your heart. He'll make it a reality. When I came out of school today, the students weren't there, but we had to go. The teachers had to go. And they had voting in our school. It was one of the voting sites. So when I came out of the door was open, and there was someone who doesn't work there but was working there because of the voting. And she said to me, you finished? You're all finished? And I said, yeah. I thought for a second she was talking about finish the day of work. But she meant, had I finished voting? I hadn't voted. So I said, yeah, I'm finished. And she stuck a sticker on me. It says, New York City, I vote. And I said, okay. It's pretty cool. And as I walked to my car, I just took it off because I hadn't voted. You know, we can come into the church, in and out, go through the motions, and have that little sticker like if we've really surrendered our life to God. But we know, and God knows, if the surrender is real. And God will cause your step of faith tonight to be real. And He will seal it. It was not going to be a cheap little sticker. It's going to be the seal of the Holy Ghost in your life, confirming to your heart that you're His and that He is yours. That things are not the same now. Things are different now. God's going to bring you into deeper waters with Him, into deeper understanding of who He is, a deeper faith. Amen? I'm going to pray that prayer for you. Father, I pray not only for my brothers and sisters here in the front, but I pray for myself and for the body of Christ. God, we hear Your call to come, to leave the gods that our fathers served, and to leave the compromise of the Amorites, dear God, with the Amorites, and to serve You and You alone, to believe You, to fear You, and to walk as a family. And God, we commit our lives into Your hands, and we say, God, we are weak, but You are strong. God, confirm it, seal it in our hearts. Seal this commitment, seal this a choice that we've made, this election that we've made to just go all the way with you, Father. Seal it. You've placed it in our heart. The Word of God says you give us the measure of faith. So, Father, it's a gift in the first place. You gave us that gift to believe you, and you gave us the gift to just walk the aisle and come forward and to respond to your call. So, God, now seal it in our hearts and cause our life to shine as a testimony to this generation that you're worthy of all the praise, that you're worthy of all the glory, that you're worthy to be surrendered to. You're worthy to be served for the rest of our days. We thank you for this. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pastor.
Thank you, Elder David. Listen to me for 1 second here. I just can feel the pain here tonight. I can feel it inside those that have come to this altar this evening and many who are still here in your seats, and you have this deep abiding hurt. The only thing I know that will bring you through it is that you need to know that God loves you. He passionately loves you. He sees all of your struggles and he sees all your failings. He knows what you're going through. He knows how far you've fallen. He knows everything you battle, but he loves you, and his love is constant. It sent him to a cross for you. And he says to you tonight, if you will just come to me and bring everything to me and put it in my hands, I'll give you the power to live a new life. That's the promise of God. It's not a momentary fix. It's not a quick fix at an altar like this tonight, as wonderful as this is. It's the beginning of a walk with God. If you'll trust me, I'll give you peace. I'll give you power. I'm very blessed tonight to see a lot of young people here as well. And I have a sense that somebody heard that statistic this evening that 1 in 12 young people are attempting to commit suicide. And the word to you tonight is you don't have to commit suicide. You're not a loser. God loves you. You're a winner in Christ. And he has a wonderful purpose for your life. And some are here this evening and saying, well, I'm older and I've done my day and I've made my mistakes and my life is a mess. No, no, God can unravel all of that and bring it all back. And he says in his word that he said, I'll bring back to you everything that's been taken away from you. And it may not look the same, but he'll bring it back. And I thank God for that. He's so good. There's victory in Jesus Christ. There's life in Jesus Christ. There's purpose in Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And you might think your life is a mess, but I want to tell you tonight he has a divine purpose for you. It's something in his heart that he wants to do through you and through you alone. If you will just let him know and make the right choices and trust him for the power to do right and to do good. That's what you heard this evening, this awe of God that says, Lord, I'm not going to live a double life before you. If you're God and I belong to you, then I'm going for this whole journey. And I'm going to trust you for the power to be a different person than the person I am. Hallelujah. You might not have much of a song tonight, but you will have one soon. You'll have a testimony, and you'll be talking about what God has done in your life, what only God could do. Thank God. Thank God. Young people, please, your life is worth living. Hear me on this tonight. There's nothing the devil has ever said to you that God can't change in a moment of time. Give you meaning and hope and life and a sound mind. If you've been involved in violent videos and violent movies and it's obsessing your thinking, the Lord can change that and bring you out of that prison and set you free and give you a reason to live and a brand new song and new eyes. That's what he promises to those who belong to him. I feel the pain, but one who feels it more than I do took it with him to a cross, and it was nailed there. And basically says, I took it with me. Now you give me your life, and I'll give you healing. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people who have come to this altar this evening. I thank you, God, for young people in the sanctuary who are responding in their heart because they have felt your presence here tonight. Thank you, God, for prayers that you answer. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to fill each of us with your Holy Spirit. If we call out to you, God, you're willing to change us from the inside out. And you do it supernaturally, Lord. It's not something we choose to do. It's something we yield to, and you choose to do it in us. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you take the people at this altar and stun the people that know them. Do something so powerful that people that have known them say, I don't know where you've been, but wherever you've been, I'm going there too. I see such a change in you. Thank you, Lord God, that you're willing to do that to glorify your own name through us. And Father, we thank you for it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers this evening, God Almighty. Lord, the change in New York City begins here. It begins at this altar tonight. It begins with those who are coming and standing before you. Lord, you are a miracle-working God. We believe that. We stand on that, Lord. We're not going to settle for third or fourth best or second best. You have the best for us, Lord. And that's what we're going to lay hold of. That's what we're going to walk in. You're going to fill us with your Spirit. You're going to change our thinking, God. You're going to give us a reason to live. We thank you for it. We stand against every work of the devil and every power of hell that comes against these people and those that are in this sanctuary. And Satan, we stay unto you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke your lies, your plans, your schemes, your baptism of filth that you have sent to defile and destroy this generation. We stand against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take victory over you and all of your evil. God, we thank you, Lord, for victory. We thank you for a testimony of life. We thank you for hope and help in our generation, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to use us. We're not going to be chronic seekers, Lord, filled with pain for the rest of our lives. We're going to be healed, and we're going to stand as a testimony to God in our generation. And Father, we thank you. And we praise you and we bless you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Would you give God a shout of glory tonight before we go? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This is a night of victory. This is victory for you tonight. This is victory for you tonight. You're not going down, you're going over. Thanks be to God, we've won the victory because of Jesus Christ. Give him one more time. One more time. Give him a shout of glory. Let's go singing tonight. Praise God.